35 degrees.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? In my server, serve and me. Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot get online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online, AdamTheComputerGuy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Hey, be careful what you wish for, because it's me, live. It's Adam the Computer Guy. Adam Lepp, good morning. Hey, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We're on every Tuesday and Thursday. Right after the 9 o'clock features, we talk about today's technology topics. We take your phone calls. Please give me a call. We can discuss a lot of the topics currently in the realm of tech, computers, servers, printers, monitors, and of course, privacy of your data and security. I'd love to give you some free support. We do that here. How often can you call and talk to somebody who's been around computers 40 years and actually get your questions answered for free? Pretty cool stuff here at Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. My number right here at the station is 740-383-9944. So give me a call. You could also send me an email. Let me know what you think about the station. We've done some more upgrades to our website and streaming service, which I'll tell you about in a little bit. My email right here at the studio is adam@wwgh1071.com. Of course, we sometimes have special guests either on the phone or Skype or sometimes in person. You may recall back in January, during the early part of the run of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, I brought my longtime friend and occasional business associate, Mr. Brandon Oak. We discussed some of the latest trends in social networking and how computers are used, and not just in the business place, but in school and in people's lives. Brandon has agreed to return, and he's here right in the studio with me this morning. We're going to discuss all kinds of good topics. So much going on now. We have a change of seasons. It's tax time. Pretty busy time, not just for the world, not to mention the election. My goodness sakes, the election for the next 5 or 6 months. But we have a lot of things going on in the technology world. Without further ado, good morning, Brandon. How are you today?
Oh, doing pretty good, Adam. How about yourself?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. So, are you like me? Are you kind of tired of the election?
Oh, incredibly.
I obviously it's important, and this certainly, I would think in your lifetime, which hasn't been quite as extended as my lifetime, it may be the most important election. But I think, yeah, we're all getting a little tired of hearing it, all the back and forth, but not much you can do about it, and certainly it is important, even though sometimes it gets a little less than pretty. One thing, you know, we've often discussed, Brandon, you know, again, you're a person who observes a lot of different things and has different types of knowledge. You've lived in the Cincinnati area and now up in central Ohio. In your life, you've been a registered voter for about 10 years, I believe, if I have your age correct. How do you think that the internet and social media, the tweeting, I mean, some of the less than polite stuff the candidates are saying, how has that affected the election and affected politics, especially as you've seen changes when you growing up to your life now as a young adult? Do you think there's been changes? Have all you know, there's been issues about these tweets, from, you know, a couple of the Republican candidates. And
well, there's not much to hide. I mean, everything's kind of out there for everybody to see, especially with social media. It just
is it maybe a bad thing that there's a little too much going on, where the accessibility, where candidates and their supporters or their non-supporters are able to just throw opinions out just by putting on a hashtag and hitting submit on their Facebook?
Well, I mean, at some point it gets kind of a bit much, I'd say, but, you know, it's, again, it's better than having things, you know, people not knowing what's going on, so there's definitely no, can't hide from it.
So you're saying that there's probably a good and a bad.
Yeah.
How technology has affected politics.
Oversaturation of all the ads and what have you, but other than that, I'd say it's a overall good.
Yeah, I would think the ability to communicate. We never had a case where politicians could communicate directly through a Facebook page, provide the hashtag and the Twitter handle and the website in their ads and in their public appearances. You know, here in Marion, we were discussing driving up here that President Harding, he's our hometown president, and of course that was quite a while ago. And what do you have any ideas what you think President Harding would think if he were running in the election, being right from the area? Do you think that it might affect how he would do his campaign and how it might have an effect by modern technology?
Oh, it's no doubt of it. I mean, compared to, you know, how it was then, I mean, now is just, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, you'd probably see the same kind of results as the campaign of, you know,
so
today.
It'd be kind of cool if President Harding were around and we could talk to him about this.
Now, that would be interesting.
Yeah, no question. You like to kind of go back in time and think, you know, what would happen? How would things change? And I guess we look at the evolution of technology and communication, and is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is there too much? And that kind of comes up every show here with me. AdamTheComputerGuy.com. And do we maybe rely too much upon the ability to communicate at the snap of a finger, just like we might rely too much upon GPS and spell check and all these smart things that these technological gadgets can do? Well, speaking of all the things we do with technology, of course, we talk about this every show, but you really can't avoid that. Our friends over at Facebook, they're, of course, constantly working on Messenger. If you've noticed some changes in your Messenger, and not just maybe the speed and the way it responds, but some of the things you can do, I know I have over the last couple weeks. On Tuesday, see, we give you a lot of current news here at the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg launched the company's new beta of its Messenger platform at its annual conference for developers. Now, the Messenger announcement was the first major initiative in the long-term video that Mark Zuckerberg presented. He outlined a major push to incorporate artificial intelligence and bots into the Messenger platform. Now, Brandon, you and I used to use chat lines back, you know, in the days of IRC and some of the Yahoo chat. And that's just kind of evolved. Everybody just uses Facebook chat. I mean, Yahoo Messenger is around, but no one really uses it anymore. AOL Messenger, I mean, a lot of people might not even know that it exists. And now Facebook Messenger is pretty much the standard. We're familiar with the bots, you know, the good bots and the bad bots. How do you think that putting these bots into Facebook Messenger, I think that's going to be kind of a bad thing. I think we prefer to have it a little bit more personal.
Going back to the days of AOL Messenger, if anybody remembers,
wasn't that long ago, Brandon?
No, but it just seems like it's been a very long time.
Yeah, even though you're age, you know, late 20s, it's like, well, it seems like it was eons ago.
It was dying then.
We used AIM and Yahoo Messenger. Now everything is Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I like the convenience of Facebook, obviously, because you can talk to people halfway across the world without any charge. But as far as the bots go, I mean, it's never had a good history, so I'd say it's not going to work out as well as he thinks.
And we are taking your phone calls. Brandon and I are live in the studio. And let me know what you think about maybe upgrading, or is it really an upgrade? It's more of a evolution of the Facebook Messenger, or any computer technology, telecom, data privacy topic. Again, if you have any questions, give me a ring right here in the studio. I would love to talk to you. Again, we also offer free advice, free suggestions, make your computer run better. Maybe your monitor is only monitoring your headaches and your aggravation. Maybe your server is only serving you gobbledygook, and maybe your PC is not being very PC. That is politically correct. Number here at the station is 740-383-9944. Now, speaking about the enhancements or revamping of the Facebook Messenger platform, this updated service will allow companies and individuals to develop more sophisticated and personal experiences through Messenger than ever before, ultimately transforming the app into a major communications and marketing tool. Zuckerberg told conference attendees Messenger is going to be the next big platform for sharing privately. Brandon, does it sound like, what's Zuckerberg, about 32 years old? Doesn't it seem like Facebook is trying to take over the world?
Well, something like that.
Do you think Mark Zuckerberg might run for office someday? I mean, he's not even old enough to be president. You have to be 35. I guess, do you think he has political aspirations, or does he just want to be a multi-trillionaire and be in charge of Facebook?
About as many aspirations as other people at the moment, I think.
You know, we look at, Bill Gates recently turned 60, and he does a lot of charitable work. He's a wonderful person, the charitable work that him and his wife do. Do you see Zuckerberg where do you see even when he's 40, even in 8 years? Where do you see Zuckerberg in 8 years? This is just interesting looking at this. It's like the dreams that this guy has, and it seems like anything that he does, it just turns to gold. Even if you don't like it, again, Facebook is a force more powerful than a lot of companies.
Well, there's no doubt the impact it's had since its creation in 2004, and you see the results 12 years later. It's incredible.
Where do you see Zuckerberg in 8 years? Do you think him still being so aggressive with how he is transforming Facebook? Do you think he might get burnt out? Do you think he might run for office? Do you think he might just take his quadrillion dollars and retire? What do you think?
Well, with the burning passion that he has so far, I mean, no offense, I didn't run for office. I just don't see any. I don't see that potential in him. But I mean, I don't think he's going to stop anytime soon. He might take over the world as far as social media goes.
it kind of seems like that way anyway. Do you think he's just had some luck and just good advisor, or is he really just a genius who just has these incredible ideas? How do you see? I mean, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, obviously they are geniuses. I mean, there's no dispute there. Do you see Zuckerberg? Is he just very lucky? Is he a good marketer, or is he just so smart he knows exactly what to do?
Well, marketing, he's got to a T. He's perfect at it. I don't know, he's kind of on the same wavelength as a younger Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. Kind of has the same kind of feel, but just happened to be quicker
right.
at it.
I mean, things have changed, obviously, with the advent of Windows in the early 80s, essentially, when they started working on things. We had networking, we had the internet, but not in the form we have it now. We didn't have apps and smartphones, and so things have kind of changed. And kind of a hard question. And, listeners, again, chime in and let me know what you think, because I think this is an interesting topic. It's like, how does Mark Zuckerberg, again, at age 32, I believe, compare to Bill Gates or Steve Jobs at the same age? Bill Gates, again, being almost 30 years older. Do you think Bill Gates, do you think he idolizes, admires Zuckerberg? Do you think Zuckerberg is just a smart aleck, or what do you think? He's a little jealous. What do you think, Brandon? What do you think Bill Gates would, if I had Bill Gates here in the studio with me, and I asked him, Bill, what do you think about Mark Zuckerberg? Is he kind of like a young version? Do you think he idolizes you? Do you idolize him, or are you kind of similar at the same age? What do you think he would say?
I think we kind of agreed that they have a certain level of respect between the two of them, especially considering what he's done in such a short amount of time.
Almost like a mutual admiration.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I mean, again, the times are different, but yeah, in no case. I think they both would respect each other, and I think everything can kind of grow together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think we agree on that one. That's good. But again, do chime in here. We want to get your phone calls and see what you think. The phone number here at the station, we are live at the studio in the Marion Center Mall, 740-383-9944. Of course, we already know this, but more than 900 million people around the world, that's about three times the population of the United States, and 50 million businesses use Messenger to communicate every month. Facebook already has started working with various businesses to help them build deeper relationships with their customers. Zuckerberg said we are entering the golden age of online video. How about that? A 32-year-old saying golden age. He noted research findings show Facebook users file, check this out, Brandon, 10 times more comments in response to video than to ordinary photos. Mark Zuckerberg said in some cases, public figures have been able to develop a bigger audience using video on Facebook than they attracted to their own television shows. How about that? I mean, we talk about politics, Brent.
That doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't. It just...
It's like Facebook is bigger than... You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have cable TV. We had the rabbit ears, and we turned on your local station. We're saying that Facebook video is bigger than that, bigger than being on the news with Walter Cronkite or one of your other favorite local anchors.
Yeah, it's just because it's on the same level as YouTube, just the access alone.
Right. So the accessibility has just really changed it and changed politics and really kind of been a transformation, something you've seen in your lifetime. Brandon.
I've seen the changes. It's incredible.
It's pretty intense. Brian Blau, a VP at Gartner, said Facebook is making a global push with messaging to make it a global platform and destination for all types of businesses. Now, Brian Blau said with bots, they want to enable businesses to have a more direct and personal connect with their own customers. Now, how can it be personal if it's a bot? I'm not quite sure I understand that. He said, with the use of automated response and interaction technology, backed by deep learning and artificial intelligence, those bots will become very personal and human-like. Okay. I'm not sure about that one, but I guess we'll find out, right?
I mean, I've had a few conversations with Siri, and I'm not convinced that bots are going to be a good replacement for anything at this point.
So you're like me, Brandon. You're not a big fan of Siri or Cortana.
No, it's just not that smart. I kind of
prefer the Homo sapiens myself.
Yes, just a bit.
I don't think you really can replace the milk of human kindness or the things that you can get from a human being. I'm not big on it.
No.
Not to mention that Siri can kind of say things that are false and it gets almost comical. David Marcus, a VP of messaging of Facebook products, said in a blog post, Facebook can bring a number of new features to the table using the new Messenger bots. These bots will be able to deliver a range of messages from weather and traffic updates to customized receipts, shipping notifications, and live automated images specifically tailored to individual customers. I mean, why do you need a human being anymore? I mean, Zuckerberg should just fire all the people and keep all the money and just make everything go by a bot. Frost & Sullivan research manager Michael Jude said, Messenger's API application program interface and the ability to integrate video and instant messaging into the social interaction will transform Facebook into a global telecommunications player. To which I said, doesn't Mark Zuckerberg have enough money already?
Yeah, pretty much.
But that's okay. These people are very creative, and just what Facebook has done, I mean, it's almost like every day there's something new.
He's obviously doing something right.
Yeah, I agree. You know, again, there is luck involved, no question. I mean, Zuckerberg is a genius. So there's no question. He developed it in his dorm room, which I think is kind of like what Michael Dell did to Dell Computers. And Dell Computers, certainly, they had their heyday 10, 15 years ago, but they are still around. And, you know, Michael Dell, he's my age, and I kind of look at the generation being very, very similar. And I think he transformed the PC, too, into one that you just buy. And, again, things have changed a bit. As 25 years ago, when Dell was in its infancy, we didn't have the tablets and the iPhones and iPads floating around, at least not to the extent that we do now. And people could just go ahead and call up and buy a computer. And now you can buy it over the internet, buy it through the phone, or just go to your friendly neighborhood electronics or computer store and pick one up. And that was something from maybe a generation ago, and now it's what Facebook is doing. Not just being a place where you share photos of your cat or you just send a message to your friend. It's where political candidates can share video, and it's bigger than being on the evening news. Tereos Research Principal Analyst Kevin Kruel said, using bots to power customer interaction allows businesses to scale to handle many customer issues without relying on large call centers. So again, we kind of get to the outsourcing or not using the human touch or the human voice at a call center, but you can kind of do this stuff with Facebook. Someone else that I quote regularly, Rob Enderle from the Enderle Group, said, "Despite the ambitious plans, it may prove difficult for Facebook to get a large number of customers to switch from their existing messaging habits." He said, "This is where Facebook's lack of marketing skills will likely hurt their ability to make progress, because they have to build demand for Messenger, and building demand currently is not one of their strengths." It's amazing. Facebook has something which isn't one of their strengths. I didn't think that that would ever possibly happen.
There's a weakness.
Oh, yeah, is that actually possible? Is Zuckerberg not quite Superman? He's about 99% Superman. Anyway, this is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show live here at the studio. Hey, give me a call. I would love to talk to you. This Facebook story, I think, is pretty big, so we're spending a lot of time on it. I have a special guest in the studio, my longtime friend, Mr. Brandon Oak, with his commentary, questions, and, of course, if it's the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, there will be frequent wise cracks. Anyway, beep, beep. I do toot my own horn. Once a show, Brandon. I apologize, but I'm not perfect. Anyway, maybe I am perfect. The website continues to increase in, well, it's beauty, of course. It's a work of art, but also what you can do with it. What can you do now, I ask? Well, if you are on a mobile device, your tablet, your smartphone, your not-so-smartphone, anything with a web browser and internet access, you can click on the Listen Now button and listen to our station anywhere in the world, 24/7, 365, 366 during leap years. We have improved the ability to listen through a mobile device. We've also improved the quality of our stream, so we sound better. Responds a lot quicker, and yes, I am the person kind of coordinating that. But I'm very passionate about this station. We're the best. I mean, we have so many great shows we want to share with the world. So if you're not in the Marion area, don't worry. You can listen. Just pull up the station on your favorite computer or smart device and listen. Of course, Charlie Evers is on several days a week. He follows me just after the 10 o'clock features. And if you go to our website, wwgh1071.com, go to the Charlie Evers section, you will see dozens of his shows from this year that we've posted, and just click on to listen. So we have on-demand listening, or kind of like a podcast, as well as the ability to listen online. And now we sound much better. The stream comes up quicker and more reliably, and you can pretty much listen on any device that has internet access. Of course, another show that we have is called Now with one of our station managers, Mr. Scott Spears. And like Charlie, he's a bit of a Marion radio legend. One thing about Scott is that he has a penchant for having celebrity guests. Brandon and I were listening to his interview with Dr. Ruth yesterday. He even spoke with Ed Asner. Of course, he played Lou Grant on Lou Grant and Mary Tyler Moore. He was in Roots, an outstanding actor. When we listened to those interviews where Scott talked to the celebrities, Brandon, what did you think about Ed Asner? We were really probably kind of into that interview.
I mean, he seems like one of the most down-to-earth guys you can meet. He just tells it like it is.
Yeah.
But gracious about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, Scott is a great interviewer. Kind of comparing him with some of the reporters that we've grown up with. I mean, even Geraldo, for example. He's probably one of the most known of the original investigative reporters. And I see Scott's interviews are really good. He's not afraid to ask the right questions. And we've gotten some pretty good information from all of his celebrity guests. And he's spoken with the late Phyllis Diller many times. I mean, as you can imagine, she was quite a character. And one of my favorite people, Dr. Ruth, we heard his interview when we were listening last night. And those interviews are available through our website. Go to the Now with Scott Spears section, and you just click on the interview, and you can listen to it. We've also had Steve Boom Boom Cannon, a radio legend, used to be at WTVN. We have a few of his shows available, so please do listen. He interviewed Michael Cole, star of the Mod Squad. That interview is available online. Remember that show, Brandon, the Mod Squad?
I've seen it before.
So we've got some pretty awesome interviews, and I say we challenge any station, not just in Columbus or Cleveland, but in Chicago or L.A., to have the kind of interviews and program segments that we offer. I mean, creative, original, local shows like me, our local celebrity, Charlie Evers. We have some great religious shows. Of course, we have Paul Ingletta with Heaven Express. And, of course, Paul, also an accomplished keyboard player and singer. You heard his little theme song earlier in the show. We have Brett Cornelius and the Wittenberg Door. And lots more great shows to come. I mean, we are Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. You might be asking, whom will our Scott Spears be talking with today? You know, on his show, there are a lot of surprises, and we have local celebrities, international celebrities, and sometimes just local talk. Marion History, Scott talked about that last week. He has a Powell Psychic on every Monday. Today, after the noon features on Now with Scott Spears, Scott will be speaking with former Marion County Sheriff Ron Scheiderer. He has unveiled his plan to stop drugs in Marion, and they'll be taking calls live in the studio. So I definitely want to tune into that. Former Sheriff Ron is a rather outspoken, very intelligent man with excellent opinions and insight. When he was on last time, I really enjoyed it. So definitely want to tune in for that. And if you're not in the Marion area, you can listen online on your phone, your computer, at our website, WWGH1071.com. And after the 1 o'clock features, Jim Lavelle, the Dallas homicide detective, he's also known as a man in the white suit. He will be speaking via phone with Scott. Now, the Dallas homicide detective, Jim Lavelle, as you may recall, was handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was shot by Jack Ruby and killed. So, historical figure talking with Scott right after the 1 o'clock features, and again, former Marion County Sheriff Ron Scheiderer after the noon features. So, Scott Spears, a man with many interesting guests, important guests, on his show Now, which starts, not now, but right after the noon features. I'm Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy, your friendly neighborhood information technology person. And in the studio today is my special guest, a longtime friend of mine, Mr. Brandon Oak, discussing various IT topics. Gesundheit. One of the big, in honor of Dr. Ruth, we'll say Gesundheit, because that's, of course, that's a German word. Anyway, don't you can laugh, Brandon. That's okay. I mean, people laugh on the radio. It's part of the fun. Not a big deal whatsoever. Anyway, we're taking your telephone calls, discussing any technology topic, not just ones that I brought up. Pick a topic, question about your computer at your home or your office. Give me a buzz. I'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Brandon, we were talking a little bit about the FBI and Apple controversy, which has kind of come to a head, but I think it'll be an ongoing topic, as data privacy and security is something that you always have to take into account. It's not the most glamorous or certainly not the most well-paying topic, but it's important. What do you think about what came about with the decision where Apple doesn't have to unlock the San Bernardino shooter's phone? FBI kind of figured things out themselves, but what kind of precedent is set for future occurrences? Because obviously a similar situation is going to come up in the future.
I will just say this little snippet, and that I'm glad that it's over with for now. Because after hearing about it for a month or two, I'm glad it's settled at the moment, and I'm leaving you that.
So we're kind of burnt out a little bit in hearing about it. I mean, it is important, and we can't discount that. Some things are just important, and you really have to address them.
We'll just see what happens next, I imagine.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's take a look at some other news from the world of technology. This one's kind of interesting. As a wearer of contact lenses, I certainly saw this and said, "Well, let's go ahead and talk about it." Medical technology, I think, is a good topic. Samsung. You would think that they're more in the TV and smartphone business, but no. Samsung is a very broad-based technology company with a lot of very smart people a lot smarter than myself. They have, check this out, Brandon. Samsung has been granted a patent for a smart contact lens, according to news reports that were published last week. Now, this lens is equipped with a tiny display, a camera, an antenna, and several sensors that detect movement and eye blinks. Eye blinks would provide the input, and a smartphone would be needed to process the images. Aha, so you get a Samsung smartphone and your Samsung smart contact lens. This is some pretty cool stuff. A user blinks to take pictures or interact with data displayed on the smart contact lens. Sensors pick up the blinks and relay the commands they indicate to the user's smartphone for processing. The results are sent back to the lens almost immediately. Now, some circuits apparently will be visible on the lens, but they are at its edge. The patent was filed September of 2014 and was approved last week by the South Korean Intellectual Property Office. Jim McGregor from Tyrios Research said, "Much of this is tied to augmented reality. If virtual reality and augmented reality take place, there is good potential to see products in the next 2 years." He said, "I'm optimistic that VR and AR, virtual reality and augmented reality, will take off because of the potential in gaming, entertainment, education, and even industrial applications like medicine." Strategy Analytics has predicted that smartphone-based devices will dominate the 12.8 million unit virtual reality headset market that it projects for 2016. Cliff Raskind, a senior research director at Strategy Analytics, said, "Augmented reality is indeed the right track as it relates to in-lens display capabilities once the human acceptable factors are resolved." He said crude resolution may not be a problem as there are many augmented reality cases not requiring rich imagery. What do you think about that, Brandon? A smart contact lens with an antenna and circuitry, and that's kind of mind-boggling or eye-boggling, if I'd say so myself.
Yeah, you have me speechless. I've never heard of that. That's incredible. It's mind-blowing. So now I'm curious to see how that develops. Really.
So, yeah, I think, I don't know if I want, like, artificial intelligence in my eye. I still kind of like, you know, I like the soft, called the hydrophilic contact lenses. I mean, you pop in the eye, I mean, they're great. But having a circuitry, having a smart contact lens that communicates with my phone, I don't know about that one.
What if it malfunctions? I mean, it's a very close and personal encounter, I imagine.
I would think so. I don't know about that one. But, you know, people at Samsung, like Mark Zuckerberg, there's some pretty smart cookies over there.
I'm sure it'll be tied to Facebook in no time.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure that Mark Zuckerberg will find a way and... He probably wears a smart contact. I've never seen the guy wear glasses, so, you know, after 30, your eyes kind of start going. So maybe he's wearing a smart contact lens. Maybe he's doing that with a way to kind of come in here to secretly listen to our conversation and say, "Well, you know, Adam's a pretty cool guy because he talks about how smart I am and how rich I am. And, yeah, I definitely like his show." Maybe he's listening to the Adam the Computer Guy show, which you can because we now broadcast worldwide via your smartphone or by your computer. So, again, listen to WWGH 24/7. And also, all kidding aside, send me an email. Let me know where you listen to the station. I want to kind of make sure that we are providing the best listening experience, the most convenient way. My email is adam@wwgh1071.com, and I'm live here in the studio on my twice weekly radio show, so go ahead and feel free to give me a call. That's what I wanted to say. 740-383-9944. One of the prevalent topics here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show would be autonomous or self-driving cars. What do you think about that, Brandon? What do you think about a self-driving car?
I think it's a neat concept, but I mean, as far as what we've seen so far, it's interesting. I don't think the world is quite ready for a self-driving car not quite yet. Maybe in the next 10 years I can see it, maybe.
So, like me, you're a little bit leery, and you still kind of prefer the Homo sapiens.
It goes back to having bots doing everything for you. It's like, I'd rather have a human do it for now.
As you know, I prefer a stick shift car. I'm old school. What do you think about maybe having, if I wore a contact lens and maybe it had a little brain that would actually shift or hit the clutch for me? Would that be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Well, we're one step closer to Knight Rider then.
Yeah, we're pretty close to that. So just a lot of things on the horizon. Anyway, Ford on Monday revealed that it had been testing the Fusion Hybrid autonomous research vehicle with no headlights on remote desert roads at night. Ford said while such a task would be quite perilous for a human driver, I would think so, no headlights on a desert road, it was an important step in developing a fully autonomous vehicle. The test vehicle relied not on cameras, which require light, that's hard to say, but instead on LiDAR technology for navigation. Now, LiDAR worked in conjunction with the car's virtual driver software to navigate the pitch black and winding roads at the Ford Arizona Proving Ground. Ford engineers were present during the testing, both inside and outside the vehicles, with night vision goggles to monitor the Fusion. Autonomous vehicles largely rely on three modes of sensors: cameras, radar, and LiDAR, but Ford's recent tests suggested that LiDAR could function independently on roads without streets or stoplights. Ford said being able to navigate in pitch-dark conditions is crucial in the development of autonomous vehicles, especially as the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration research has found that fatality rates in passenger vehicles were three times higher during nighttime hours. Brandon, what do you think if a police officer would see this car driving around without headlights? And how do you ticket an autonomous vehicle? How do you think that how would they do that?
I think it already kind of happened, because I think that one of the first tests that they had with one of these cars that did get pulled over, only to find out that it didn't actually have a driver. Kind of imagine the reaction he had.
Yeah. So what happens when they say proof of insurance or driver's license? What picture would be on the license? I don't quite understand that.
A pre-model of that car.
Okay. So I wasn't quite sure how that worked. I mean, you get points on your license?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how that works. I was kind of wondering. And, you know, do you have to be at least 16 to get a license, or would they put like a photograph of an adult sitting there, so we think that there was a 16-year-old or older driving the car?
Just
always kind of wonder about that.
Just have it crashed on me as the picture for the license.
I would think so, yeah. Alan Hall, Ford's spokesperson for technology research and innovation, said, "This test was one part of our extensive autonomous vehicle development program that is taking place on roads and test tracks in Michigan, Arizona, and California." Michigan, that's not too far from Marion. So if they start driving down 23 and we see an autonomous vehicle, what would you do, Brandon, if we were driving around Marion or Delaware and we saw an autonomous vehicle on the road? How would you do road rage? I mean, you really couldn't do that.
You
with
couldn't
an autonomous
do it.
Vehicle. What if we had like an autonomous vehicle that, you know, kind of like those attack bots from IRC that would just kind of do little road rage?
Right.
I don't know if I would kind of do that. That'd be kind of funny, you know, a little bit. But I mean, seriously though, I mean, how do you handle that? I mean, would you kind of freak out if you were driving along and you saw an autonomous vehicle on the road?
I mean, initially, because you don't see anybody in there, and just like what, huh? And take a second to register in your brain. Like,
yeah, it would. It would definitely be an experience. So anyway, Alan Hall, Ford's technology spokesperson, said, "Since LiDAR plays such a key role in delivering level 4 autonomous capability, meaning that the driver is not required to be engaged in the driving process, this test was meant to take its capability to the extreme." Mr. Hall said, "We will be conducting a lot of testing to cover a wide range of scenarios." Now, this LiDAR system technically does not see the road ahead. It works in conjunction with high-resolution three-dimensional maps, which include information about the road, road markings, geography, topography, and other landmarks such as signs, buildings, and trees. The LiDAR system then sends out 2.8 million laser pulses a second to pinpoint itself on the map in real time. Jeremy Carlson, the senior analyst for autonomous driving at IHS Automotive, said, "The LiDAR sensors can generate and contribute to 3D maps or other very accurate 3D representations of the objects around the vehicle." He said one advantage to this for nighttime driving is that it is not sensitive to light like a camera, which doesn't typically perform as well in low light conditions. So some interesting developments in the world of self-driving vehicles. Any more comments on that, Brandon? Is it even a little bit scary that we're taking away the human factor? We have the Facebook bots, and this almost being kind of a similar story, the self-driving vehicles.
Well, maybe. I don't think the world is quite ready for it. It's a neat concept, but not quite ready, I don't think.
So we're thinking that maybe it's just a teeny tiny bit ahead of its time, but obviously the potential is there, and in some ways the world's kind of heading to things being a little more automated. But I think we'd agree that we don't want to lose the milk of human kindness or the things that you can only do as a Homo sapiens.
If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake.
Adam Lapp!
Yeah, that's my name, and talking technology topics on Tuesday and Thursday, that's my game. This is the Adam, the Computer Guy radio show. With me, Adam Lepp, your friendly neighborhood information technologist. If you would like to be like Brandon, be an in-studio guest, we can talk topics, we can shoot the breeze, we can kind of interview each other, kind of like what me and Brandon do, feel free to send me an email, because I'd love to have you. We are an audience participation show, and your participation is not only welcome, but it's appreciated. My email, give them my email, Brandon. You know what my email is at the station. Adam at WWGH1071.com.
I'm still learning that one.
No, that's good. Okay. You can also give us a call right here in the station. We still have time to take a phone call this morning, 740-383-9944. Remind you that coming up after the 10 a.m. features, it is our local broadcasting legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. Now, there is a man with a lot of anecdotes, like myself, an occasional wisecrack, and excellent opinions. A man who's been in radio over 50 years. Pretty cool stuff. So Charlie will be on in about 20 minutes or so. And again, taking your telephone calls, 740-383-9944. Once again, here's something that Facebook has up their sleeve. On Tuesday, they've unveiled a high-quality 360-degree 3D camera suitable for creating virtual reality content. The Facebook Surround 360 system, which made its debut at the developers conference that we talked about earlier, includes a production-ready camera, which costs about $30,000. Of course, to Mark Zuckerberg, that's not even pocket change.
Right.
To me, that's like 2 years of salary. See, people think radio people make a lot of money, but you know, actually, we don't. So $30,000, but you know, it's fun. Radio. It is the most fun business, and the money is not really a big deal. We just love doing it. Anyway. I get goosebumps thinking about radio, so that's okay. I lost my train of thought. Anyway, the Facebook Surround 360 system, which made its debut at the developers conference, includes a production-ready camera, which costs about $30,000 to build, and it looks like a flying saucer from a science fiction movie. And software for controlling the camera and for stitching and rendering what the camera captures. Brian Cabral, Facebook's director of engineering, he said, in designing this camera, we wanted to create a professional-grade end-to-end system that would capture, edit, and render high-quality 3D 360 video. He said, in doing so, we hoped to meaningfully contribute to the 3D 360 camera landscape by creating a system that would enable more virtual reality content producers and artists to start producing 3D 360 video. So, some more innovations from Facebook. They seem to be delving into much more than, again, as I say, just sharing photos of your cats. Well, that's kind of the thing you do on Facebook, mm-hmm. right? It is photos of your feline friends. And they are in virtual reality. They have upgraded their Messenger service. You can send money through Facebook, and feel free to do that if you want to send me money through Facebook. I'm not gonna turn that down. So, I'm sure Mr. Zuckerberg can spare a couple million.
As or I said, two.
He's probably listening. I think he would enjoy the Adam the Computer Guy show because we talk about him pretty much every show. About 40 seconds left to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show for a Thursday. Charlie's up next after the news and features. Any more parting words from you, Brandon? We really appreciate having you in the studio today. Excellent opinions and insight.
Pleasure as
like,
always.
Like to share with our listeners?
No, I think we pretty much got it for now.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again for popping in.
Oh, no problem.
Again, you'd like to email me, adam@wwgh1071.com. Your opinions and insight are always very, very welcome. Charlie's up next after the features. Again, be sure to visit our new and improved website. It gets better every day. WWGH1071.com. Listen online on your phone or computer. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
You're listening to